Good evening. This is Dwayne McCacker with the Community From Within Economic Development Podcast. It is 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. Hello. It's been a while. A couple reasons for that. I've been working on some new ideas, and it's part of the reason why I wanted to record tonight to tell you about that. But also, the last couple weeks, basically, I've been working from home, so I'm not driving back and forth to work, as usual. It's been longer than that since I recorded, obviously, but that's one of the reasons lately. It's March 31st. Back in January, we started hearing about this virus spreading around the world, and now here we are. The stats are staggering. And they're saying it's only going to continue getting worse. All I'm going to say is this: stay safe, stay at home, don't go out if you don't have to. If you have to go out, be careful, take precautions, don't let your guard down, because this is devastating. Again, this is another reason why I wanted to record something, and I've been thinking about these. I mentioned these ideas I've been working on. One of the things I've been reflecting on lately is just even the state of my own mental health. And what I mean by that is, you know, the thing about driving an hour to work each day and back again is that's 2 hours a day I have all to myself. I love my family, of course. I'm happy to be home with them. I love spending more time with them. But just generally, when you go from having that time to not having that time all of a sudden, I think you'd say it creates... You feel a bit of pressure there. Like you've lost something. You've gained something, but you've also lost something. And you lost alone time. And I think it's good to have some alone time to be able to think and reflect. I just personally feel like I need that somehow. That's why I started recording these podcasts driving back and forth, because it's some time that I can be productive with and think out loud. When I record these podcasts, it's just generally me thinking out loud, thinking off the cuff. I need to be able to do that. When you're alone like that, you know, you're free from everything in the world and you can just be yourself. Not that you can't be yourself around your family and stuff, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, there's something about being alone. And being able to think or do something you enjoy. And so I'm not driving. Technically, I have 2 extra hours every day. 5 days a week to do something else. It's 10 hours a week. Obviously, I'm spending more time with my family. I'm doing more things around home. But I want to be able to utilize some of that extra time to my passion projects, like this podcast. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is a new aspect to this. What I've talked about in the past. I've talked about you possibly doing some YouTube videos and companions to the podcast, but certain things. But now I'm looking at, basically, I am going to do a YouTube channel. I hope to have something up very, very soon, within the next couple of weeks. How do I say this? Like, I mentioned before about my own mental health, like, just, you know, how do I say this? Where do I go? I mean, we've been very busy here between my job and the stuff we do around home. It's been very busy. We, you know, we've raised pigs and chickens. We have dogs and things like that. And we're always, you know, building a chicken coop or putting up a fence or moving a fence or building, you know, things in the garden or fixing something. Or, you know, there's always stuff to do. And a lot of times I enjoy it. I enjoy, you know, building things. I enjoy fixing things. But there's a difference between wanting to do something and doing it for fun, doing it for leisure, than having to do it because you must do it. There's a different mental state that you're in when you do something as a hobby. I need a hobby. My wife and I have talked about this. I've told friends, I need a hobby. I have to get into doing something as a hobby. I don't know if I talked about it before. One of the things I've loved since I was a kid, my Uncle Stephen, when I was about 5 or 6 years old, gave me his stamp collection. So I've always been interested in collecting stamps, and my whole life I've collected stamps. Never did anything with them, just collected them. Just this past year I finally went through them. I had bought some albums and started sorting through and looking at them and trying to enjoy them a bit. That was a little bit fun, but that's just, you know, literally sitting at my desk with a pair of tweezers and magnifying glass. It's not very active. But one of the things I've always been passionate about is restoring things, fixing things. Growing up, my father is a mechanic. He had a gas station for a while. He still runs an automotive garage at the moment. But I grew up around cars, and he was always fixing old cars and restoring old antique cars and things like that. And I just love that stuff. And I love taking parts off of things and fabricating things out of old items and old parts and trying to just playing around with things. And I always love taking things apart, trying to put them back together. Probably took more things apart than I'd put back together in my younger days, but, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, what I can do for a project. I've always been interested in old vehicles too. The very first car I owned was a 1973 Dodge Charger. We bought that car, I believe, in 1993 or 94, I think. I already had my driver's license, so I was 16 at the time. But anyway, that car, we rebuilt the engine. Did the whole interior over. All kinds of work to it. And I love that process. And at one point I thought I would like get into that as a career choice. But never really materialized. I worked as a mechanic for some time. And I still enjoy working on vehicles and doing my own work or helping friends and stuff, but I haven't had a project car in a long time. And so my absolute favorite car, the car I've always wanted, there, you know, before I was 16, back when I was about 14 years old, my dad had a 1984 Dodge Charger. Just pure coincidence that these were two Chargers. The 84 did not look anything like the 73. 1984 cars were, it's like, you know, Dodge. I like the Dodge Omni, the Dodge Charger, the Rampage, the and they like the K car, the vans. They all had basically the same engine and transmission and all this stuff. Sorry, I don't want to get into too many possibly boring details for you, but anyway, point being, the Charger itself, though, was a fast little car. Could be. They came with turbos and stuff, some of them. But anyway, sorry, my dad had one. He had an 84 Charger, he bought it. And at one point he said that when I turned 16, he would give me that car. That could be my car when I turned 16. So I developed an attachment to it. Unfortunately, before I turned 16, we discovered that those cars didn't have a frame. It was called a unibody. But let's just say that the frame of the car, the metal, the support structure underneath the car, had rusted out so bad that it could not be repaired. So the car was junk. So I think he sold it off for parts or something. But I've been chasing that car my whole life. In other words, I've always wanted that same car. And a friend down the road has one sitting in a field. It's probably been there 20 years and there's nothing left of it. But I thought I talked to her about it. I thought I might, you know, just as a project, take it out of there and like I could pull things off of it and work on restoring them, like having parts available for if I ever found a good shell, maybe rebuild a motor. The same person with that car has another vehicle with one of the turbo engines in it as well, sitting in the field. So I could like rebuild and have a turbo engine sitting there. So that's a project I would like to do, and I'll do some YouTube videos of that as I go along. But that's not the immediate project. I'm a bit ambitious now. No. The immediate project is something totally out of left field. Still a vehicle, I guess. For me, left field. My wife and I, we bought this property in 2016. We were very fortunate to find this place. And a friend of ours was selling. And so we bought it and we moved in. And out in the very corner of the property in the woods, there's a couple old vehicles sitting there. I went to look at them. I didn't even look at them, I don't think, the first year we were here. There's so much brush and stuff around. The following spring, I took a walk over and there's these two old trucks. You know, garbage, so trees growing up around them and stuff. I thought I'd cut some of those trees and I figured I'd have to get long chains and tow them out because it's a big muddy area where they're at. How am I going to get these things out of here and get a tow truck to come and take them for scrap? And then, so they've still been sitting there. Last year I did cut around some trees, thinking I'll get to it to get them out of there. The thought hadn't occurred to me until I started watching some of these restoration shows and videos on Netflix and YouTube and stuff. Watching one show I really enjoyed was called Rust Valley Restorers, or Rust Valley Restorations, something like that, on Netflix. It takes place in Canada. It's out in British Columbia. This particular area Now, being from Nova Scotia here, we always know that cars from British Columbia come down, they usually have no rust on them. But this one particular place in British Columbia, this whole valley, the air is so dry that nothing rusts, really. Surface rust, if anything. Unlike here, where everything rusts enormously. Well, I mean, the Rust Valley shows the vehicles that are probably sitting there for... There's probably some stuff going on behind the scenes, maybe, but they basically show vehicles that have been sitting there for 10, 15 years. They go out there with a can of gas and a battery, and they get it started. Around here, if you let something sit for more than a year, you're never going to get it going again. But anyway, it sparked the whole interest in me again, that passion of restoring vehicles. And I wanted a project. I knew, I said, talking to my wife, saying, I need a hobby. I need to do something just as for fun. And so the thought occurred to me, what about the old trucks over there? So, and here's the thing, I was never a truck person. My whole life I was in the cars, old Mopars, Dodges, you know, like Dodge Chargers and Challengers, things like that. I was never into trucks. First truck I ever had was an old Dodge Dakota. And when I first got it, I fell in love with the idea of a truck all of a sudden. I was like, I loved it. Anyway, point being, these trucks out there in the woods, they'll be the subject of my first YouTube videos. There's two of them. There's one is a Chevy, the other's a GMC. They're in the 70 to 72 range. And the thing about these trucks is, I didn't know this until just recently, is they're highly desirable vehicles, apparently, for restorations. But from 67 to 72, they're some of the most popular trucks people restore. And there's so many companies out there with entire catalogs of parts. Apparently, if you have the frame and the cab... Just the frame and the cab. If you have that to work with, you can literally buy every single other piece you require to put the truck back to the way it would look originally, or make it any kind of custom, whatever you can think of. And I know for a fact that I have something to work with in the woods over there. There's a GMC... The Chevy looks like it might have been smashed, so it might be actually, the frame could have been bent in it. But the GMC, the frame and the cab are workable. The floor is probably gone, but it can be fixed. And there's a lot more there to work with. Between the two trucks, this is the project. This is Dwayne's mental health project. Dwayne's hobby. I'm going to get that GMC, and I'm going to restore it. I'm not going to restore it to original showroom quality. I'm going to try to restore it so it's back on the road, legal to drive, and, you know, maybe looks interesting or looks decent. I'm going to try to use the parts off of the two trucks to build one. I'm going to fabricate as much of what I need as possible on my own, scrounge up things. Yeah. I just think it would be really interesting and fun. And I'm really excited about doing it, actually. I've been thinking nonstop about that truck since when I got the idea. Sometime around Christmas time, real shortly after, I was watching some of the restoration. The day is pretty nice outside. I had a bit of time to myself. I decided, just for the heck of it, take a walk over through the snow and look at these trucks. And, of course, they're covered in snow. But I think there's something there. So I think that will be an interesting project. and I'll do YouTube videos as a companion, or like I want to document the process no matter what. What does this have to do with the community from within and the podcast? I guess the overall point I'm trying to make here today is, especially given the, you know, the situation we're in, we don't know how long this is going to go on. How long we're supposed to be self-isolating and staying home. It goes back to the philosophy of Moses Cody, I've always been a fan of, since I first got involved in community development. And his words still ring true today. And they're ringing in my ears this whole time, thinking about the project here. His words were, use what you have to secure what you have not. Use what you have to secure what you have not. In other words, use what you have. Use your assets. So I have the truck here in the yard now. There's some things I can do. I can tear the doors off of it and take them to the workshop. I have some tools. I have some ability. And this gives me a hobby without costing me any extra money. You know, that's the whole point is, I guess that's why I want to get it. I don't want to be, even though I could go out and buy whatever I need for this truck, I'm not going to do that. If it comes down to it, only in the extreme circumstances, there's a very particular item for the truck that cannot be found or fabricated or you know. Then maybe I have to buy something, but that's the. I don't think either of those trucks in the field have an engine. Even if they did, they'd be garbage. Like, I'm going to look for an old car somewhere. There's plenty of people, old cars sitting in the field and stuff. Somebody should have one with an old, you know, Chevy 305 engine. And I can take that and maybe rebuild it or something. And then the YouTube channel, I'll have different playlists. I talked before about having YouTube videos to go correspond with, you know, some of the, I took screenshots when I set up the business, for example, and stuff like that. There'll be playlists there where you can look on the YouTube channel to follow along with certain things I'm talking about on the podcast related to the economic development. And there'll be a playlist there for the restoration projects. In between everything, I have a lot of ideas and stuff. I think there's a couple of electric generators, gas power generators, that I can, that I do have to fix up and restore. I have an old lawnmower I have to fix up and restore. I have my plow truck. I have a 1998 Chevy 1500, like short box, four-wheel drive, that I put my plow on this year. Probably should have documented some of that. It was pretty fun. But it's not running properly. And it's been sitting actually on the road out there. The Department of Transportation guys are probably cursing me every time they plow to go by, because they've had to go around my bloody truck out there, because it doesn't run. And it hasn't ran since December, I think. Maybe January. It broke down. I can't get it running properly. And I think I hope I got it figured out that it's the fuel pump. So the fuel pump is in the gas tank. How do I do that? And then, so I can document some of this stuff and show you some of the, I can show, for those, that's why there'll be different playlists. There'll be playlists for automotive stuff or mechanical stuff that I'm restoring. Maybe I'll do some stuff and document next time I have to build a chicken coop. I would like to share that stuff with you too. There's tons of stuff out there already, I know. But everybody does things differently, and maybe there's some ideas out there. point is, you know, just to share what we're doing and show you that, I guess everything about this podcast is try to demonstrate what's possible. And now more than ever, I think it's important people realize that, you know, working towards being, you know, maybe not entirely self-sufficient. It's impossible to be 100% entirely self-sufficient. No, that's wrong. It's not impossible. It's undesirable in many ways, because that's what, you know, there's your community aspect. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is it's what we're seeing with what's happening in the world right now just goes to show how important our local economies really are. As communities, we have to be more self-sufficient. That's what I'm trying to say. As communities, we have to be more self-sufficient. We have to look out for one another. We have to take care of one another. And, we have a lot of projects we have to do around here. If by sharing how we do some of that helps you in some way, or helps the community in some way, then that's what the purpose of all this is. Yeah. I guess that's it. Yeah, sorry, there's a little bit too much of the automotive stuff here, but that's the main central component of tonight's broadcast. Once I'm ready, I'll post that on the website. The website itself should contain all the podcasts, and all the YouTube videos will be there embedded and stuff. You'll be able to go to the YouTube channel. Not every podcast will have a YouTube to go along with it, and the mechanical stuff, like if I pull a door off the truck and go to my workshop and start restoring the door off of the GMC, I'm going to do a video of that, and you can watch it, you can watch how I do certain things, but I'm not going to turn that into a podcast as well that you're going to download and listen to. Let me know what you're up to. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you have any questions, comments, complaints. You can do that by going to communityfromwithin.com and use the contact form. Yeah, that's it. Cheers, everybody. Have a good night.